What if your story could change someone's life? There are people out there waiting to be inspired by your message and your knowledge. 6 years ago, I started a podcast out of curiosity. Now, 400 episodes later, I've met incredible people, grown my business, and even published a book. A podcast can do all that for you too. Take the next step today. Visit personaldevelopmentmasterypodcast.com/guide for your free podcast guide.
So it's about how we react to the words. Not only to the words that we think, but we also react to the words that we speak. And we have a lot of self-defeating narratives about ourselves that we speak out of habit, out of reinforced behaviors.
You are listening to Personal Development Mastery, the podcast that empowers you with the simple and consistent actions you need to master yourself and create a life of purpose and fulfillment. I am your host, Agi Keramidas, and this is episode 374. Today we will find out how to effectively integrate the ancient spiritual wisdom with the innovative practices of modern science. In this episode, you will find tactics for reshaping your personal narratives, and you will learn how to use the concept of a personal map to navigate your life's journey. A fascinating conversation. Let's dive right in. Today, I am delighted to speak with Sanal Bhanu Rajan. Sanal, you are a thought leader and international speaker on spirituality and mind transformation. With roots in traditional Indian spirituality, you have spent over a decade developing a unique approach to mind mastery, blending traditional wisdom with modern efficiency. Your mission is to initiate a global shift in consciousness and share this knowledge with the world so that people can live happier, healthier, and more peaceful lives. Sanal, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to speak with you today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's, as I was telling you just before we pressed record, it is a topic I believe it is so important, and there are so many insights to be had. So we will explore, among other things today, there are many, but this mind transformation and the perception of reality were some of the things that really caught my attention when I was preparing for this conversation. Before we go there, can you share a little bit more about your journey, maybe a key defining moment in your journey so far that changed everything for you towards what are you doing, what you're doing at the moment?
Well, the key defining moment happened around a decade before. Now it must be 13 years, I guess. But yeah, it was when I was really getting deep into spiritual philosophies myself. Like, as part of growing up, I always had that practices and everything as part of the cultural growing up, and my family was really rooted in it. But I myself got interested in the philosophical nature of reality and getting really interested in it around that period of time. And then I went and saw masters in Himalayas and came back, but mostly with the inspiration from the environment that it generated, the kind of love and harmonious, graceful nature of us being brought out and all the beautiful emotions being present there. So I was like, okay, if I want to be working with something in my life, I want to be working with this, I would rather be doing this work rather than any other work. So I kind of took the inspiration there, but so I guess the ego in me didn't want to walk the old path and just teach the same stuff. So I kind of wanted to bring some sort of a new signature to it, you know, some sort of like a new twist to it. And I got on this journey to developing a framework or a set of methodologies that I put together over the course of the last decade, and which I'm presenting now.
Tell me, what is it? You said the framework or methodology, the words that you used. What makes this approach, your approach, different from other existing, methodologies or schools of thought?
Yeah. So basically, it is not a methodology. It is a set of methodologies. So there is principles taken from so many traditions, from so many places. So there's principles taken from Hinduism, there's principles taken from Stoicism, principles taken from Hermetic path, principles taken from hypnosis, from the world of NLP, from neuroscience, from cognitive psychology, from general semantics, from cybernetics. So it's an adoption from a rich variety of areas. So it's a blend, I would say, at this point, rather than one methodology. So if there is one methodology, it's more of what I'm presenting with this is a map, so to speak. And we all have a map to how we navigate through life. And the question is how useful or how well this map serves us in navigating through life and life's difficulties and everything in a more harmonious way with the less of the struggles and less of the suffering, along the path. So it's kind of a map, I would say. So it's not the truth. I'm not presenting here or concerned with presenting here the absolute truth of anything. So this is ways of looking at it. This is just a map. And I'm not presenting here the territory. And the real question of the map is not whether it can really represent the territory, but it's about how much useful it is when it comes to relating to it. So, and I encourage everyone to just experiment and test and explore with it. Rather than making any sort of conclusions with it, because that's the real way we can find out whether something works or not, by just testing it out, by experimenting and exploring with things.
You were talking about this blend of different modalities, like East meets the West came to my mind, or, science, spirituality, traditional, or all of them mixing. Yeah. My question, and I appreciate what you said, that you are, it is about the map rather than describing the absolute truth. My question was, so from this very different modalities, you mentioned neuroscience, NLP, among many others, what are those common characteristics that are between all of these very different, perspectives or schools of thought? What are these common things that you have picked? Can you give one or two examples that help us understand
better? Exactly. Yeah. So, one simple principle I would always make sure people get is the principle of semantic reaction. So it's about how we react to the words, not only to the words that we think, but we also react to the words that we speak. And we have a lot of self-defeating narratives about ourselves that we speak out of habit, out of reinforced behaviors, So this point is very vital if you really understand, my reaction is to the words rather than to the person. So it helps someone to really become better at social interactions too, not only just with themselves, in with their own thoughts and with their own speech, but also when they are in a social, in a psychosocial situation with another person and they are telling you something and you're reacting, but you don't take it so personally anymore because you realize you do have semantic reaction and you are reacting to those words and the inferences that you make and you have about those words rather than you, the reaction being specifically to the person, and then we take it out personally and taking offense of it and a whole thing that unfolds as a result of it, I guess.
I know that very well.
Yeah. So, and we are living in a society where, you know, everything is offensive and like, you know, we have to kind of tiptoe around the words that we speak and so much censoring of what we say and, you know. So, yeah. So just like having awareness to these kind of principles. For, if someone just in generally interested in improving themselves or just improving their spirituality or something, they are not going to go into fields like cybernetics and general semantics to find valuable nuggets. So that's the thing. The point is that we are all going to look in certain directions, but every places they all have valuable nuggets, and you don't have to get the whole thing, just that little piece, and you bring that out from that. It's already powerful, making powerful shift in your life. Just like one principle from one modality, really fierce, just with fierce intentionality, bringing into your being, it changes things, you know, just, yeah. So you, I don't even expect all the people to get all the things even right. It doesn't matter. It's just a thing of just something is going to just click, and just few of the pieces they get it right, it just already makes a huge generative sort of snowball effect over the course of the time.
I will ask you more about this because I think it's very important, and we'll discuss about some maybe practical ways you can, because it's one thing to talk about having awareness to your reaction to the words that you say in your internal dialogue, or, you know, someone else says, but actually practicing it, doing it, and detaching from this identification with, or this unconscious, if you want, most of the time reaction, that's not necessarily the same. And actually, I'm going to ask you that now because it's relevant. I don't want to skip a subject. So, can you offer some practical way one can, as you said, gain more awareness on this semantic reaction to the words, as you were describing?
So semantic reaction, the way I utilize it is through explicitly asking questions with internal dialogues. So, for example, one of the principles that I encourage everyone is to identify with the I that creates. So taking that creator frame. So if I'm taking that frame, then I would be asking the question, let's just say I'm feeling anxiety or I'm feeling a lot of sadness. So I would just be asking myself, what am I creating right now? You know, so I'm going to have a semantic reaction to those words that I'm using. Now I'm asking the question so that I'm going to semantically react to the question. And that creates an internal orientation within. It creates a certain sense of a direction. And that's what we need, because where attention goes, energy goes there, and that thing will grow. So the moment you ask a question like, okay, what am I creating? Or let's just say, what am I choosing to create right now? So you're asking a question like that. It creates an orientation of you being in your power. This is a concept from Stoicism, the ring of power, where you bringing the principle inside. So you're bringing the power within by taking ownership of it. So all of these goes within, because every question has presuppositions hidden within. So the presuppositions within the question will naturally create the right orientation, just as the mind simply is willing to even look into, to consider the question at all. So that's one way of using it. So semantically, you can also change your personal narratives. That's one, another thing. So in psychology, we speak about the core self, the autobiographic self, and the proto-self. So in that, the autobiographic self is what we in spirituality put it in a simple word as ego. So autobiographic self, the definition is, it's the stories that you are telling to yourself to make sense of yourself in the world. You know, so these stories are through which you understand also yourself, like as on a personal level. So the thing is, very seldom we really pay attention to the narrative, to the stories that we are sharing with people, and how, whether it really serves us in life or not. We don't really take personal narrative as a real thing. We just kind of think like we are just describing things about reality, but it really matters, because you're going to semantically react if you are just describing yourself as a victim in life and just like create an instant disempowerment, like losing your groundedness in the moment. So just making habits of noticing the habitual way of your description of your own reality to people, and seeing, taking a note of them and seeing if it's not serving you, just making an upgrade to that personal narrative, but not by completely telling something that you don't even feel connected to, but like really tapping into that story and looking at what are the strengths that you brought into that situation that allowed you to handle that situation, for example, and allying with your own strengths there. And changing the narrative like that, and seeing when you are saying that, like you can even try it on in front of the mirror, say the old story and say the new story, and see how do you feel within as you say both of these versions, and making a commitment. So you can say, I'm choosing to make a commitment to doing this way, you know, so every word matters. It's about like choosing, making an upgrade in your semantics, you know, in the way you describe. So it becomes huge. So it's not just about simply battling out thoughts and just being in the thought-free space, because thoughts are going to be there and you have to communicate through the world, in those world through words, and that's not going to change. So it's better to pay attention to these kind of areas and develop those areas, so you can give the dividends pay off in a big way. And you're approaching it in a different way, rather than mind as the enemy and just being free of the mind, being the goal, the go-to goal, and, you know, just instead of that, yeah.
Hi, it's Agi here with an important message for you mastery seekers. Do you ever want to concentrate, but just can't get your brain to focus on the task in front of you? If this happens to you, you're not alone. It also happens to me, and in fact, 40% of people say they have trouble concentrating. The good news is that if you find it difficult to focus, I've got a solution for you. I'm really excited to be partnering with BrainFM. BrainFM is a great app that I use every day. It uses functional music backed by scientific research, and for me, It allows me to focus deeply and concentrate on the important task I have to do at that time. And that ability to work undistracted makes a huge difference. So if you want to be able to laser focus on your work, then you, Mastery Seekers, can now get 20% off a Brain FM subscription. Thousands of people have given it 5-star reviews. Find out why and get 20% off at brain.fm/agi. If you enjoy this episode, can you find one person you think would find it useful and share it with them? I'd really appreciate it. It helps the show grow and you'll also be adding value to people you care about. Thank you. And now let's get back to the episode. Thank you. There is, I will repeat, one question that I got from your comprehensive answer. There was one question to ask ourselves. I think you said it, what am I creating right now? And I take that as a very powerful question that can instantly create a shift inside our mind and with other consequences that will follow. So that I took personally as, I think, a very practical and, you know, it's simply a question. But has, I understand how you meant about the taking ownership and being from the creator point of view rather than the victim point of view. Sanal, there is something I wanted to ask you since you mentioned the map earlier. Mm-hmm. And so assuming that we're talking about the map, and I will use the words spiritual growth, I hope that is accurate enough in what it represents, because it's not always easy to describe that. You mentioned the, you know, the absolute truth. I'm not going to go there yet, but let's say this map you were referring to of growth, of spiritual growth. Is that, in your experience, is that map universal, or does every single one of us have a different map? In other words, different actions or habits or things that we need to do in order to progress on that journey.
Yeah. So the map, everyone is born with this adaptive intelligence. You know, we are all born with this adaptive intelligence. And as we move through life, we are growing up, we develop this map. And this map can be contributed by several things. Culturally, it can be influenced. It can be influenced by the family. It can be influenced by the books we read. It can be influenced by the teachers. It can be influenced by the friends. It can be, you know, influenced by the people we associate. So the map is something that we keep on developing. You know, we don't just simply finish with the map and just simply sit, because as a new challenge shows up, we go through the experience, we make adaptations to the map so that next time we find ourselves in those kind of situations, we can adapt better with it. So it's an ongoing process of upgradation. So the point is not to get wedded with the map. It's just a map, you know. The point is how useful it is. So is it serving me? So at a moment when you find yourself really struggling and suffering in the way you are handling a situation, you can clearly see the map is not really serving you well at the moment. You see, it's a simple process. If you're struggling and suffering in the way you are handling the situation, you can see the map. So the territory is not going to reorganize itself to meet the map. The map has to reorganize itself to meet the territory. So just like that, it's the time to make an upgradation to the map, you know, and being conscious of this thing that I do have a map and I'm making sense of things through this map. And, you know, I can make changes to this map so that I can have a different experience of the experience. Now that frees you. Instead of seeing the situation as the problem, you have now more choices within the situation. Now that's always power. Oh, if you have a lot of power, you have choices. And if you don't have power, you don't have any choice. So that's why you say, can you make any difference on this matter? And if you can, then you have some power on the matter. Otherwise, you have none. So in a situation, if you find yourself just choiceless with only one way of behaving to it, then it's kind of like you have no power in that situation. You're powerless, you know. So the way I look at it is just like you notice these kind of things. Make a notice of situations where you don't have a rich variety of repertoire of responses to the situation, but you're stuck with just only one or something, which is kind of not even working very well, you know, in terms of the kind of results that you're yielding from the situation. It's not working very well. So then you're like, okay, this is a place where I can develop a rich variety of responses. So what am I believing to be true? Because it's all about the truth. Every state that you are in, there is something that you deeply believe to be true about the world, about what is going on, about yourself, about what you are capable of, about what is possible. So there are all these things that you believe to be true in the moment, about the moment, of the moment. So just being able to tune into it and seeing, okay, this is how I am seeing this moment. Being able to see and cultivating that capacity to be able to take different perceptual positions and look at that situation. Okay, if I were to believe this to be the truth of this moment, how would I show up to the moment? Just explore with it. So that capacity to be able to explore, you know, to be in a place where you can do that, not stuck with, this is what I see is all there is. How I see is how it is, and being just stuck in that tunnel vision. So that's the places where you can pay attention to and make shifts first. And it's about always this the requisite variety. So this is a term that I took from cybernetics. So requisite variety simply means that the required variety of responses. If a system needs to thrive and move forward in an environment, the system should be having the required amount of responses or more in relation to the kind of perturbances and challenges that the environment would pose. So if the system has less than that, then the system would fail. So the point is to build that rich variety of responses within. So I kind of see we human beings as also systems, because we are not just one thing. There's a lot of parts to us and a lot of moving parts, and they're all interconnected and interdependent. And, you know, so it's just we work as a system rather than as a person. Person is a very, a word that needs much upgradation, because when we think of each person as a person, then like, just kind of like, you know, making something really complex. That's something we do in society. It's called, the term for it is called thingification. We make something into a thing, something really complex into a thing, so that we can look at it and we can speak about it and, you know, we can, yeah. But that is not that thing that we say it is, right? So seeing ourselves as system is more of a better way of looking at us as human beings, I would say.
Thank you. And there were a couple of things that I noted, I highlighted from what you were saying. The first was about the keep on developing the map, upgrading it, and that's important. And what you were saying about also having or building a repertoire of responses rather than, you know, having two or one, as many people have the same response for that.
And people are always looking for one solution. And I would always say that's just a bad way of looking at it. You'd never want to have just one solution. It's better to have five or six or seven solutions. Now you can make an informed choice from the seven different solutions because it's not always the same. You know, a solution is not always the same as different solutions. Has completely different after.
There is something else that I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to change the subject completely. I mentioned earlier, but I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on it. When I gave the introduction of you in the beginning, I said that your mission involves making an impact and initiating a shift in consciousness. So I wanted to ask you, how do you envision this shift happening on a global scale?
Well, this shift happening on a global scale is when, of course, you know, the methodology or the framework is at a point where it is spreading to more people, where people are not so much truth obsessive in the society because we have been fed into this whole truth trap, I would say. You know, so all sort of truths being shared in news and media. And the thing is, they have impact. They do have impact, real impact on individuals watching it, their ground of being. They are operating from the shaping of their phenomenology, you know, within. So they are doing a lot of stuff and it can really alarm the threat response system. And can take away someone from their groundedness. And now they are operating in a far less, operating from a place where they are not having access to so much of who they are and who, so much of what they are truly capable of, you know, in of things that wisdom and understandings and capabilities that they have learned, they just don't have it because they are operating from a place where there's this whole fear mongering is just going on. And it is just difficult because we are operating in a time where things are just drastically changed. We are not operating from a time where technology and everything was like nowhere near is now. We are in a place where we are sitting at some place and we just know everything that's happening in the world. Like back in the days, people might know maybe 1 kilometer from where they are living because we were tribal people. We lived in tribes, you know. It's just we are not aware of all the atrocities and everything going on. So it just affects an individual bombardment. It's not just one news. It's just so many things. And so it's just about we are in a content shock at this point. And we have more content than we can consume. So it's highly relevant that something that comes out that where we need to have this sort of like an obsession to truth kind of fall apart and to see what really serves us and serves all of us, you know, what we can co-create together rather than even this ideas of law of attraction and manifestation, I'm completely against it. The sort of demanding, commanding the universe. No, the attitude has to be universe is my best friend and I'm co-creating with it, you know, rather than this whole sort of I deserve it and I'm just going to command and let the universe just obey my commands or something like that. I don't know. I'm not really in for this thing.
When you say it like that, it certainly does sound very wrong. Sanal, Where would you direct a listener who has found this conversation intriguing and would like to know more about you and connect with you?
Well, I do have a gift for all the people listening to your podcast right now. So they can go to podcastgiftnow.com and there is more than 9 hours of professionally recorded videos of mine giving talks here. So I'm kind of exploring on many topics regarding that, self-esteem, self-worth, so many varied topics are being spoken about. You know? So listeners can go to the podcastgiftnow.com, that website, and they can get that gift like that. And also check out my website, spiritualogic.com. So in that website also, I'm sharing, you can see people who have worked with this framework for months. And after a year or so, kind of speaking from that place, how their life is from. Yeah. So also, they can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is Wisdom with Sana. And also my YouTube is the same, Wisdom with Sana.
Well, I want to thank you very much for this insightful, I believe, conversation and what you shared with us today. I want to wish you all the very best with this mission that you are on. It is so important, especially in these times that we're on. So all the very best from my heart with that. I would like to conclude with asking you for some actionable parting wisdom. So what's one piece of advice or some simple practice that the listener can start incorporating right now into their lives to the purpose of what we were discussing today?
So I would emphasize it's a simple practice, the practice of groundedness. So for me, groundedness is the state that emerges when you are grounded in certain set of ideas. So these ideas are, I am okay. Whatever happens, I am okay. Yeah. Whatever I say, I am okay. Whatever I do, I am okay. So this, and just feel connected to this idea. So it depends on persons, how deep they feel connected. But as they say the words again and again in their mind, they will notice the semantic reaction kind of growing stronger, you know. And it should be fairly, most people just easily feel connected to those ideas. It comes naturally to us, you know. So whatever I do, I'm okay. Whatever I say, I'm okay. Whatever happens, I am okay. So really being grounded in these ideas, it creates a really strong sense of groundedness within. And when you're operating from there, you have access to almost all of your capabilities, and you make decisions on your feet, and you're able to harmoniously and gracefully engage with life, and able to show up and meet the moments from at your best. And another practice would be make a journal and note down, start paying attention to the stories, because we are all storytellers. You know, so that's what we have in common. Everything that we share with someone else is going to be a story, you know, whether we say it's real or it's not real, it's still a story. So it's about the stories. The stories that you are telling about yourself to others, it really matters. And making a note of some of these disempowering stories that you habitually are used to just describing to people. And you know, when you describe that story, you immediately feel a disconnect from your power, immediately feel a moving away from your groundedness, you know. So you'll start noticing it once you are tuned into it. You know, it's kind of like being a good connoisseur of wine, you know. So you develop this quality of noticing how words taste like, you know. How? So the quality of it, and you're like, it doesn't taste so good. Why am I just, you know, drinking it, right? So you make upgrades rather than being mindless and being stuck with, oh no, that's the whole truth of the situation. That story is the whole truth. And being wedded to the story, even though it's just making life, taking away a lot from you. Yeah.
And before I end today's episode, an open invitation to you listening right now. I invite you to find me on social media and send me a direct message about anything you prefer. You can tell me who your favorite guest has been so far, or who you would like me to interview next, or what topic you would like to hear on the podcast. So drop me a line and I look forward to chatting with you. Until next time, stand out, don't fit in,